Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful. Welcome. We're here with a name you know. How could you not know her? We were just talking off screen about how Deonna Purrazzo might be our most frequent guest here on Fightful. Deonna, I believe this is our 9th interview and your 10th interview at Fightful overall.
That's crazy. I said earlier, I wear it like a badge of honor. I've dealt with you this long.
You have. Not only that, you might be the person I've interviewed in person the most too. Like, you and Steve are neck and neck because we always end up in like the same places and the same events. But one of those events that we are going to end up at the same place, same time, March 3rd, Greensboro Coliseum, AEW Revolution, just a few months after we did an interview where you were declaring your free agency, you are in a world championship match with Timeless Toni Storm. How are you feeling right now? Because is this the biggest crowd that you will have performed in front of?
Definitely one of them. I wrestled like Triple Mania a few times and there was in the tens of thousands, so I'm not quite sure, but I'm nervous, I'm excited, I'm scared, all of the emotions, because although it might be right up there with the biggest crowds I've wrestled in front of, it's like the biggest moment of my career. This is the biggest platform that I've been given, and that's what makes it just this combination of like nervous energy that I have right now.
So a lot of people, of course, they know about your close relationship with Chelsea and Britt, well documented. There were a lot of people that were sort of caught by surprise at how close you and Toni have been in the past. And that nice reaction when you revealed the tattoo and she revealed hers. This is sort of a bit of a lost story that a lot of people didn't know because it wasn't at the forefront of social media. How did that come together? Because, I mean, it's really played very well into what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like the minute I came in, this was the idea. You and Toni are going to do something. And I think that, you know, the people that pitched that idea and maybe were writing some of the stuff for us didn't even know that, hey, we have these matching tattoos. We should do something with this. So it's been really fun for Toni and I to like drop little bits of our relationship outside of work. And, you know, she's not a big social media presence. So a lot of our friendship in the past has just kind of been between us and offline. And it's been really fun and interesting and to see the reaction of people to be like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, we knew they were in stardom together, but we didn't know to what extent they were friends. And the tattoo just was like the cherry on top of all of it. Like, we have this tangible evidence to prove our friendship to each other. Let's use that.
Toni has said, and I quote, she was going to give you a labiaplasty as well as punch you right in the box. Yeah. Is it ever difficult to not crack up at the things that she is saying to you? Because they are so ludicrous. Our Fightful 2023 promo of the year winner, by the way, Toni Storm. So she's pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah, I think it's okay for me to laugh because it is ludicrous. It is delusional. Yeah. She's crazy. This version of Toni Storm isn't who my friend was. So although it is actually really hard to not crack up, I think it's warranted in these situations where I'm like, who are you and what are you saying and who talks like this? Not my friend. And so it makes it easier to get away with my little chuckles.
So somebody who is your friend, I mentioned earlier, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. And that other company, you had Chelsea Green there as well. And I know you saw all the social media discourse, people saying, oh, no, she's going to stay in TNA because Steve is there. Oh, no, she's going to go hang out in WWE because Chelsea's there. No, she's going to go to AEW because Britt's there. As it turns out, you're a pretty successful woman. You're going to make your own decision. But did you have any of them nudging you in a particular way? Did you have anybody sort of courting you in that regard?
No, I think everyone, they're my friends and my family. So they just want what's best for me. They want where I'm going to be happy, where I'm going to be the most successful, where I'm going to make the best business decisions for me. And I think that it would have been great to be with Chelsea. It would have been great to still be with Steve, but I had to come to the place where I thought my next best steps were. And I think that at the end of the day, everyone was just happy that I got to make that choice for me. And those doors were open for me to make that choice. And it's been, I think it's worked out very well since.
Ahead of our last interview, you had even said, like, off camera, you're like, wouldn't mind ending up in AEW. You did, and it's worked out famously for you, because within a few months, you are in a world title match at one of AEW's biggest shows that they've ever done. Sting is retiring on this show. You just got an incredible lineup here. How does that feel? Is it validating to you immediately that you weren't just thrown by the wayside? You weren't just disregarded. You weren't treated as somebody who was coming in from somewhere else. We'll figure out what to do with her. You were immediately propelled into a world championship match.
Yeah, 100% validating. I think that if you could like drum up a perfect scenario, this is what it is, right? You come in, you debut in your hometown with your family there, and then you're thrown right into a world title picture, and you have such an interesting story to tell. This has been, like I've said it, it's a fairy tale for me right now of just hitting everything that I wanted to do. I wanted to come into AEW. That was where I saw myself. And then, you know, I'm a multi-time world champion outside of AEW. I can see myself as the AEW Women's World Champion. So to be put in that spot, it's a testament to what Tony Khan thought of me. And, you know, the work that Tony and I have done has been a testament to my talent and what I thought of myself and proving myself right and betting on myself. And now it's just down to getting the job done at the pay-per-view.
How often when having conversations do you have to clarify, no, that Tony? Because there's Tony Schiavone, Tony Khan, Tony Storm. And when I'm talking to people in AEW, they'll have talked about Tony Storm. And I'm like, really? Tony Khan said that? And they're like, no, Tony Storm.
All of the time. When I come home and I say it to Steve, I'm like, okay, TK, Tony, and then Tony Storm, Tony.
So, again, there's a lot of changes that are happening with you in AEW. And somebody had mentioned to me that you had said, like, you know, this is one of my first times traveling on the road for a TV show. Yeah. Because when you did the indies, obviously, very successfully. But you had done ROH in the past here and there. You'd done WWE, but that was at the PC and during the pandemic. So you're there.
Yeah.
TNA is a much different taping schedule. How has that adjustment been for you? Because that's something that when I was told that, I was like, oh my God, it would be the first time.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I've just been around for so long and done so much up until this point that people forget. Like, my first match on Collision with Red Velvet was like my first live television match in years. Probably since the last time I appeared in AEW when I wrestled Mercedes Martinez for the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship. So it's like a whole new world, and it's been an adjustment to have work, but then also figure out like what my personal life looks like and what, you know, being at home looks like and readjusting to the schedule of being gone for, you know, a Tuesday night, a Wednesday, and then half of Thursday. But, you know, this is what we dream of. When I said I wanted to be a wrestler, this is what I dreamt of. I'm going to be on the road for, you know, 250 days a year. I'm going to be traveling and all these things. So I think after 12 years, to finally get to be doing this is, again, it's a fairy tale. It's my dream come true.
I think a nice example of what you've done, you faced Madison Rayne this past week. And I think I had tweeted that you faced her in TNA, ROH, the Indies, and now AEW.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the process of negotiating your AEW deal and coming in. Like, who reaches out to you? Who makes that contact? And like, how long does it take you to get a deal like that done?
Yeah. So first I had reached out to Sanjay, and I was like, you know, my contract's coming up. I'm about 90 days out. I will be free as of January 1st. So I'd love to talk if there's any interest in having me. Let me know what those next steps look like. And we went back and forth a little bit. And then, you know, of course, Britt did know that these conversations were happening. And then I got put in touch with Tony Khan. So then we talked directly like the beginning of December, and we hopped on a Zoom call, and then it was kind of like, it felt like it was a done deal, but of course you never know until it actually is. And it wasn't until like 2 or 3 weeks later, right after Christmas, that I got the contract to review and kind of went back and forth about some stuff that were in it and got some things changed. And we were both happy at the end of the day. And it was, I think it got signed like December 31st or something like that to start whatever.
I mean, and again, it's worked out so well for you. I think you haven't lost a match this year. I think you're like 7-0 as of right now. And one of the things I liked about when you came into Impact Wrestling, they immediately treated you like a top star and did throughout the entirety of that. And that is sort of a, she is who we all thought she was type of situation, because you delivered at that level. You were given the ball and you ran with it. Now you're doing that again. How does this feel in comparison to that? Because we had mentioned in NXT, they never really did give you that ball. Mm-hmm. These two companies, they sort of have. How would you compare those two as you're still early in this AEW run?
Yeah, I think I was able to come into Impact, and it was still the pandemic, so there wasn't fans, and it very much lent towards forgiveness in terms of, like, if I didn't like something that happened in the ring, or I didn't like the way I sounded, it was very easy to stop and ask to redo it. And although I didn't do that often, that possibility was there. We did a lot more in Impact now TNA with social media and things like that, that I was able to have a little bit of grace while I was growing into the role that they were giving me. Now, fast forward, I'm thrust into this new environment. I'm adjusting to all of the things that come with it. And then, you know, there is so many more eyes on me on a weekly basis. I'm, you know, the thing with Impact was a lot of people didn't know where to watch it. A lot of people didn't know how to watch it. Here, we are on a national cable network every single week, no matter what show I'm on. And there's so many more eyes on me, which means there's so much more chatter about me, whether it's positive or negative. So I just feel a ton more pressure to constantly go out there and put my best foot forward to warrant the position that I've been given, because I understand that I'm very lucky for that. But then also, yeah, just like, I bet on myself time and time again. It might have been an easier route to stay in Impact, where I was comfortable, where I knew everyone and I knew the position that I was in, but you grow in uncomfortability, right? And that's what I think that I've been able to do over the last 2 months, is take this situation that I'm growing in mentally, physically, emotionally, all the things. I'm trying to do my best and put my best foot forward, but I'm growing and I'm learning about myself. And that's what's most exciting to me.
So I've done a lot of these with you. I remember as you left NXT and you were navigating that, you'd said, you know what, maybe I'm going to change my finisher. And now you're in AEW and a finisher that you had used quite.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Quite a bit is used by a top guy in the company, MJF.
Yeah.
However, this double arm bar has gotten over to like such an insane degree. Like, people so look forward to it. And what I love about it is it isn't always the same position. Sometimes you'll do it standing. Sometimes you'll do it like sort of side. Sometimes you'll do it almost like one-legged. I love the way that the submission is altered. What made you decide, okay, I'm going to go with that for something that's going to be on a TV property, so you're going to get the opportunity to highlight that quite a bit?
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, I am virtuoso, right? She's a submission specialist. So yes, there's other people that might do a Fujiwara armbar, and whether I choose to do that or I choose to do the Venus de Milo, I should be able to use them interchangeably. And for me, and the story we're telling right now, the double armbar works the best. But yeah, it is fun to, there's so many different ways to use it with different opponents, right? We got to see a different version of it with Taya. We've got to see it in a bunch of different ways. Even this past week, I decided not to use it, and I can use an ankle lock too. So it lends itself to my character and just being able to show everyone that I'm flexible. And if there's someone who is on our card that is using the same thing as me, don't worry. I have another thing in my back pocket.
Also, what was, so I remember you had posted a move that you would do on some NXT live events, and God, I wish I could remember the name of it. You would do the flip and the other person would do the flip. And I remember you were actually looking for a name for it. It was almost like an inverted Spanish fly type of thing. It was,
okay.
It looked so good. God, I wish I could find that now. It's going to drive me nuts.
Pendulum.
Yes, the pendulum.
Exploder suplex, kind of.
Jesus Christ, it looked so good. It looked so good. What adjustments have you found in ring from AEW compared to TNA, if any? Like, you always hear about, you go to a different company, rings might be a little bit different, lightings, camera, anything like that. Like, what are some of the adjustments that you've made so far?
The ramp is so long. So I think in your head, you kind of time out those things, how long it takes you, you know, and I had gotten that opportunity for 3.5 years of Impact to know, like, this is what I do. These are the amount of steps I take. At this point in my music, I'm going to turn or I'm going to wave everybody off. And, you know, coming in, having new music, having a very, very long ramp, just a bigger setup and bigger production is an adjustment. Definitely having that new music has been something that threw me a little bit, just because I hadn't heard it until I was literally ready to debut. So just trying to, like, get your mannerisms down and hit certain notes in the song and things like that. And again, like we talked about earlier, it's the timing of a television show and we're live. And, you know, if you make mistakes, then you're cutting time from someone that comes there after you. So just the adjustment of knowing that, like, the stakes are so much higher because there's no stop. We can cut that. We can do that in post. And knowing that, like, the time that I use could take away from someone else, and I don't want to be disrespectful like that. So I need, sure, to listen to those cues. I need to plan the match accordingly, and things like that have been the biggest adjustment, I think.
I'm so excited to see you in this situation. You've done big pay-per-view matches, obviously. I mean, I was there for, I think, Slammiversary when you faced Thunder Rosa as well. Like, I mean, you're no stranger to that. And you always deliver in that situation. But what goes through your mind right now? Because you have done so much and you were doing it so early. Like, a lot of people don't realize, like, 6-7 matches in, you were on TV.
Yeah.
But every year, it seems like you're finding a way to do something you haven't done before.
Yeah, it's you know, I think that's part of, like, a wrestler's mentality is like, okay, I did this. We checked it off. Now what? Okay, I did that. Now what? And I've been, again, really fortunate that I've been able to kind of, like, level up every year or change my game a little bit every year to stay relevant and stay on my toes and keep people wanting to see Deonna Purrazzo more and more. And again, just the amount of eyes that are now on me that might have never known I existed before. I'm introducing myself to a new audience still every single week. So to be heading into this pay-per-view, again, one of the biggest matches of my career, it's, again, scary. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I feel like, you know, especially in the last few weeks, it's been like a confidence thing. And I have to keep reminding myself, like, okay, you have done this before. You can do this. You've proven to yourself, like, just know that I'm worthy of the position that I'm in and not take it for granted, but be like, you got this, you deserve this. And you're going to go out there and you're going to kill it. And you're going to become the new AEW Women's World Champion. And you deserve that. You deserve that.
I know that last year or around last year, I know TNA had picked up their option on you. Was there any question in your mind, like, maybe I should be looking to go to somewhere else? Or were you pretty sure that they were going to pick up that option for you, which we've seen they also have done publicly with people like Josh Alexander?
Yeah, I probably September of I guess it was 2022, I had asked them, like, I know you have the option. Respectfully, I think I'd like to explore. So It's your option, right? At the end of the day, they got the final say. But I did ask, like, I think I want to explore. I think now's the time if you could not take that option. And we had discussions back and forth, and ultimately they chose to take it. And I think it was for the better, actually. I think that, you know, to be able to revisit some stories with Jordan, to win the Knockouts World Championship again, to be a part of some of the fun stories that I was a part of, and to work with some of the younger girls that were just coming in. I had a lot of fun in my last year at Impact. And so I think as much as I thought it was time to explore, I think it was worthwhile for me to stay that one extra year.
Another person whose contract is coming up soon. I don't know if you can like throw something at him from the next room over, but Steve Macklin has a deal coming up. He is also a person who was given the ball and shown that he could do exactly what he said he could do, has performed at a main event level, has won world championships, much like yourself. Is that exciting for you? Is that like a nervous thing for you? How are you feeling? Because it's something you've been through multiple times.
Yeah, I think it's both. It's a bit nerve-wracking, and it's also exciting because it always feels good to know that you're wanted, you know, and that you've earned the right to ask for a little more, or you've proved that you're worth a little bit more. And I think, you know, the Steve Macklin we saw coming into Impact a few years ago versus the Steve Macklin that he is today is two completely different people. And I think that his confidence has grown, and he now is finding the ability to like speak up for himself and say, I deserve a little bit more, and not be walked on as much, because Steve Kubrick in real life is so sweet and is a teddy bear and is so kind that sometimes he needs that nudge to say, hey, stand up for yourself. Hey, is this really the best situation for you to be in? Think about it. And I think he's taking that role really well. And I'm really excited from a business standpoint, because obviously that helps our family, right? But then also as just like a wife standpoint of, I want to see you live your dreams too. I want to see you do whatever you think's best for you and is going to make you happy. So yeah, it's exciting.
I'm excited to see that too, because I mean, you are two people who were like, we can do this. We can absolutely perform at this level. We can deliver at this level. And both of you proved time and time again that you could, and then again to a world championship level and a successful world championship level. I mean, he had some of the greatest matches in TNA history last year. You had some of the greatest TNA matches ever throughout the duration of your run as well. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing what you do here in AEW as well. So Greensboro Coliseum, Sting's final match. I don't know if you grew up a little Stinger. I know you're much younger than I, but I mean, he's still popped in and out and been around. Do you have any like particular Sting memories? Have you interacted with him at all thus far?
Unfortunately, not really. I feel like my days are so busy on Wednesdays that I don't see anybody besides maybe the people I'm working with. So no, I've not had too much interaction, but I think that just to be on this card, I think it's a pay-per-view that anyone on our roster wants to be on and would be honored to be on. I mean, it's you know, upwards of 15,000-16,000 people in such a historic wrestling venue, to be able to say I'm a part of that. And it's my first pay-per-view in AEW. It's my first shot at the AEW Women's World Championship. It's amazing. It's this culmination of all these things together that, again, it's that nervous energy. It's that I have to deliver, because it's just huge.
The betting odds have you at a modest plus 350 underdog right now, Deonna. What do you have to say to those odds makers?
I don't think that Virtuosa is ever the underdog, but you know what? I think I've dealt with people doubting me my entire career, and I've made a career of proving them wrong. So stay tuned.
And if Tony tries to make good on her specific physical threats, how do you plan on preventing that? Specific and demented physical threats.
I mean, look, I'm here to wrestle. I'm not here to talk. I'm not here to rekindle our friendship. I'm here to become a champion. And she can threaten me all she wants, but when you're locked in that Venus de Milo and there's a bunch of different ways to get you in it, I don't think you're punching anyone in the box.
That's fair. Luther had a big part of sawing my hair off with a hook knife one time, along with awesome Kong. Can you just give him a little extra for me?
Absolutely. I mean, I think he deserves a little extra just because the role he's played in all this the last few weeks, but absolutely.
Deonna Purrazzo, I am so excited to watch you compete in this match. I think we did our first interview 7 years ago. Wow. And this is our 9th, 10th overall at Fightful. And hoping we do about 9 or 10 more over the next few years, because I have a feeling you're going to have lots to do. Tell the people where they can support you, where they can find you, where they can follow you, all that good stuff.
Yeah, everyone can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Deonna Purrazzo.
Until next time, guys, we're out. How many times have you seen it? A big name wrestler gets hacked. They're trying to sell PlayStations or something on their Twitter. They need that NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not just for that, but all their sensitive files, their storyline information, their pitches, their private documents. You want NordVPN.com/Fightful to protect you when you're on the road or when you're at home. When you're at home, you can put it on your router. It protects everything. You can put it on your phone, laptop, desktop, PC. But on the road, whether you're at the hotel connecting to that Wi-Fi, the airport connecting to that Wi-Fi, the event center even, you want to have some protection for your devices, and NordVPN.com/Fightful does that. In addition, you shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, and add extra layers of security to your digital life, in addition to all the great features we tell you about all the time. They also have 24/7 support if you need that help. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.